today on Jeff's Podcast.
All right, folks, welcome to the podcast today. I want to share with you on the topic, decisive living. All right, I want to take you to a place in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. Now, have you ever had the experience when you read a passage that you've read many, many, many times before, but you wrestle with it and you struggle with it and it burns inside of you because you sense God's trying to say something new to you out of that passage? That's what's been happening to me. And I want to pass that info, that revelation, that enlightenment onto you. Revelation 3, John the Revelator is writing God's letter to the church of Laodicea. Verse 15, he says, this is the New Living Translation. He says, I know your deeds. I see that you are neither hot or cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are lukewarm, I'm getting ready to spit you out of my mouth. We always tend to take this passage literally at face value in just discussing the lukewarm state of the church and how God is calling us to be hot, to be on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit, and not to be lukewarm, not to sit on the fence. But I believe it goes deeper than that. I believe that the Lord kind of gave me a new and a fresh perspective on this word. I like to read Clark's commentary when I'm studying scripture. And the Clark commentary used the word indifferent, that being lukewarm is being indifferent, and that God is talking to an indifferent church. Well, I believe it goes deeper than that. I believe it's about indecision or indecisiveness on the part of the recipients of this letter. And so lukewarm for me is talking about the indecision of the church. They have not made a decision whether they're going to be on fire for God, whether they are going to chase after the truth of the Word of God and be wholeheartedly sold out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or if they're going to completely reject God and completely reject the faith and completely go another direction. They haven't made up their minds. They are lukewarm. God said, I wish you were one or the other, because when you are not decisive, when you can't make the decision on who your master is, it makes me ill. A little personal reflection, kind of an object lesson. God speaks to me through personal experience and object lessons. That seems to be how God illustrates his word to me. Went out the other day, one day last week here in Cincinnati. It was like 17 degrees outside. Cold, really cold. I don't care who you are, that's cold. And so I went outside in 17 degree weather to soak in the hot tub one morning. And the hot tub is set at 104 degrees. I'd turn it higher, but that's as high as it'll go. And so I spent some time in the hot tub that morning listening to a podcast and kind of starting the day with the Word, as I like to do to set the day off right. Let me just stop here and say starting your day with the Word of God is the best way to start your day, because it'll set the tempo and the attitude for the whole day. But anyway, after about, I don't know how long I was in. It was too long. I'm getting ready to share with you why. I got out of the hot tub, went inside, and I began to get sick. I got really ill, began to get break out in a cold sweat. I was nauseous. It took me about an hour to get back to normal and my body temperature to calm down. And I realized what happened was I spent too much time in 17 degree weather soaking in a 104 degree hot tub, and it made me sick. And so when I thought about that, it gave me a fresh perspective on what God's saying in Revelation 3:15. And 16, that when they are lukewarm, he wanted to spit them out of his mouth because it made him ill. Think about that. I understood suddenly when I became ill after my head was cold and my body was warm in in that 104 degree water, suddenly things began to click. And even then, the Lord started to use that as an object lesson for me. What happens, just to use another example, when you run your faucet with the cold water and the hot water on at the same time? You get lukewarm water. What happens when you're maybe outside working in the yard, or you're doing something that is physically strenuous and you need some water, and you pick up a glass or a bottle and you go to drink the water believing and expecting it to be cold, but it's lukewarm? What happens? Oh, it makes you sick, because it's not what you were expecting. Warm water is what they make you drink, or what they used to make you drink to get you to throw up when you needed to get something out of your stomach. So suddenly I understood what God was saying. It makes me sick when you won't make a decision. When you are in the middle, you are indecisive, you are indifferent, and you haven't taken a side. Now, have you ever heard this phrase? Now, I don't want to take sides. Everyone's afraid to take sides these days. Do you know why people are afraid to take sides? Because taking a side is going to upset somebody on the other side. And so we tend to want to stay right in the middle. Sometimes it's not because we don't believe one way or the other. Listen to me now. It's not because we don't believe one way or the other, but because we don't want to upset anybody. And so we're indifferent, we're in the middle, we don't take sides, we won't make a decision, and we live indecisively just to keep the status quo. Whether in life, in career, in spirituality, indecisive leaders will lead sick organizations. Indecisive parents will raise sick children. Indecisive governments will preside over sick nations. Indecisive pastors will lead sick churches. Indecisive people tend to make everyone around them sick, because to be indecisive is lukewarm, and it turns us off. Think about Israel for a moment. Think about Israel in the wilderness. They've been delivered from bondage, where they had to make bricks with no straw. They've been delivered from slavery and beatings and suppression and all of the things that befell them as they were held captive in Egypt. They were delivered from all of that. God showed his mighty arm when he sent the plagues upon Egypt, which ultimately led to him delivering them out of that captivity. He led them to the Red Sea, parted the water, let them cross over, and then used the very thing that he moved in to kill the enemy. He sent them manna from heaven every single day to feed them. According to Numbers 29, their clothes did not wear out for the entire time they were on that wilderness journey. Their shoes never wore out. They never had to go hungry. And all of the miracles that God performed for them seemed to not be enough. In Numbers 11, Israel murmured and complained against Moses and said, "We're tired of this manna. We want some meat," because we've been thinking and remembering the meat that we had in Egypt, the fish and the onions and the leeks and the vegetables that we had there that we didn't have to pay for. It was free. And so they began to mumble and complain. And what happened? God said, "Wash yourselves. I'm going to send you meat. And I'm going to send you meat, and you're going to eat it and keep eating it and keep eating it. And I'm going to make you eat it until you are overflowing." He said, the scripture said, until it's coming from your nostrils. Basically, he was going to make them eat it until they were sick. Why? Because they were making God sick by their indifference after all he had done. After all he had done for them and the miracles that he performed. In Numbers 11, he said, Deuteronomy 29, rather, he said, "I did all these things for you so that you would know that I am God." Yet they still couldn't decide in their heart Do I want to go back to Egypt? Do I want to press toward the promise? The indifference, the indecision, the riding the fence, I believe it made God sick. And it turned a journey that was only a few weeks long into a generation. Indecisive living will cause you to miss your moment. Indecisive living will cause you to miss your moment. Are you listening to what I'm saying? In Mark chapter 1, verse 16, Jesus comes by Peter and John. He says, I want you to come after me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. He was calling them into the ministry. And what happened? The Bible said that Peter and John dropped their nets immediately and followed Jesus. If you can't be decisive, you may miss your moment. When God comes calling you, when He gives you a mandate and a commission in your heart, you can't hesitate. You can't run from God. You may run from God. Jonah ran from God. The Bible said in the first chapter of Jonah that when God called him to go to Nineveh and preach, that he was so afraid of what was going to happen when he got there. And because he knew that they were a wicked place and that he didn't want to go and preach that revival, that he paid the fare on a boat to go the wrong direction. How many of you know that it will cost you to run from God? It will cost you to run from God. But when God gives you a commission, when God presents an opportunity, when God gives you a picture of your destiny, which is vision, you have to be decisive about it. Because if you're not decisive, it may make you miss your moment. Have you ever felt like that before? Have you ever felt like you missed your moment? I've had those times when I thought, Lord, I feel like I have missed the opportunity for you to do something great in me. I've missed the opportunity. Sometimes it was because I was indecisive, because I wouldn't make a decision, because I wouldn't make the decision to leave something in order to go after something. You have to be decisive. Indecisive living will cause you to miss your moment. Oh, but don't fear. The calling of God is without repentance. It'll cost you time, but eventually the gifts and callings of God will chase you down. I believe it with all of my heart. But you might miss your moment. It might cost you some time if you're indecisive. Five things that you have to do. You have to decide five things. The who, what, where, when, and how. These five things you're going to have to decide. Number one, you have to decide who your master is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The scripture said, no man can serve two masters. You either love the one or despise the other, or you'll hate the one and love the other. You have to make up your mind who your master is. You have to make up your mind whether you're going to be sold out to the kingdom of God and your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you to give you new life, eternal life. The God who in Jeremiah 29 says, I've got plans for you, plans for good and not evil, to give you an expected end, an expectation, and a hope. You've got to decide who your master is. There are a lot of choices that you have when it comes to choosing a master. Your master can be your career. Your master can be your material possessions. Your master can be a person. Your master can be a relationship. Your master can be many, many things. Or your master can be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you have to make up your mind who your master is. Because if you don't make up your mind who your master is, you'll never experience fullness, being your master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, you have to decide where your treasure is. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust does corrupt and the thief breaks in to steal, but lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt and the thief does not come in to steal. For wherever your treasure is, that will your heart be. You have to decide where your treasure is. Number three, you have to decide what you're going to believe. Now, I'm talking about doctrinal and moral issues. We are overloaded with information in these days, with the information technology, social media, the internet, and so on and so forth. We are under information overload. And when it comes to what I see and what I hear, and I'm sure you relate, I don't know what to believe sometimes. And in those kinds of atmospheres, in that kind of time in which we live, in which we're not sure what to believe, you've got to settle in your heart what, doctrinally and morally, you are going to believe. You have to decide. Now, I don't mean that believers ought to get together in these last days and waste time arguing over doctrine. I don't believe that that's what pleases God. Yes, you have to have your apologetics in order. Yes, you've got to be able to defend the faith. But I believe we've spent too much time trying to pick out the splinter in our neighbor's eye when we've got a log in our own. I don't believe that it pleases God for us to sit around and debate and argue and get mad at one another over doctrinal differences. I believe that, and I have doctrinal differences, don't get me wrong. I have what I believe are doctrinal beliefs and moral absolutes. I believe wholeheartedly in Scripture. I base everything that I believe on the Word of God, like many of you do, and I understand there are different interpretations by different people and different organizations and different faiths, but if we can all come back as full gospel believers and agree on the foundation that Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen again, ascended to the Father, and coming back again, if we can agree on that, then everything else will work itself out. I believe that we will hold true to the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll be all right. But here's what I'm talking about when you have to decide what you're going to believe. There are many persuasions that believe that morals are not absolute, that truth is relative, meaning my truth is different than your truth. Can I tell you that moral relativism and relative truth is a joke? The Bible said, let God be true and every man be a liar, because God is not a man that he should lie. By the way, God is the author of truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And truth is the intellectual property of God, meaning that no one can change what God has said. He is the truth. It can't be altered. And there are moral absolutes in this word that cannot be disputed. But you have to decide what you're going to believe doctrinally and morally. Because if you don't, then we will become like the world, who believes that those things are not absolutes, that they're relative. In other words, they're on the fence. No one's taking a hard line over it. We don't want to make a decision because we don't want to offend anybody. We're lukewarm. You have to decide what you're going to believe. Fourthly, you have to decide when you've had enough. Now, my children will tell you that they knew when Dad had had enough. They were active kids, and they, especially my son, liked to jump around and, you know, act like Spider-Man and all these kinds of things and play and roughhouse. But they knew my patience, and they knew that when I got a certain look on my face, that Dad had had enough. I heard a comedian say one time that he wished that God had put a little red light on the back of every mother's head that started flashing 10 seconds before enough. Perhaps we all would have learned some lessons without having to do it the hard way. You have to learn when you have had enough. Decide it. What do I mean by that? I mean, you've got to learn, and you've got to decide, rather, when you've had enough of the enemy's tricks and lies and schemes against you. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are preaching. This woman with a spirit of divination begins to follow after them. And as she's following them, the devil in her was tormented by the spirit in them, and she began to speak the truth. And she said, these men have come to speak of the Lord and tell you how to be saved. And the Bible said that she followed after them several days doing this until finally Paul got irritated, got agitated, and decided he had enough. And he turned around and commanded the demon inside of her to come out, and it came out. Just like that, Paul decided when he had had enough. Now, sometimes we tolerate the enemy. We tolerate the tricks and the schemes and the lies and the plans and the deception and the aggravation and the thorn in the flesh. We tolerate thinking because we feel like the enemy's convinced us that we can never get rid of that. But I'm telling you, you can decide you've had enough and you can resist the devil. The Bible says that if you will resist the devil, he will flee from you. You know how to get rid of the devil? You can begin to turn your attention toward worshiping and praising God and declaring His word. And if you'll do that, I guarantee you the enemy won't stay around for long. You have got to decide when you've had enough. And finally, you have to decide why you are on this earth. Why did God put me on this earth? In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God said to Jeremiah in his calling narrative, he said, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I set you apart and anointed you a prophet to the nations. Just like God called Jeremiah, gave him purpose and destiny from before he was born, so he has done for you and I. I believe that from the time I was in my mother's womb, God had a plan and a purpose for me. And that plan and purpose has followed me for my entire 45 years of life and continues to follow me. And that is why I'm on this earth. That's why God put me here, was to fulfill the plan of God in my life. Now, it's one thing for the enemy to try to steal that from you. The enemy can't steal your calling. He can't steal your purpose. He can't steal your destiny. But he can distract you. I've been distracted before. You've been distracted before. When the enemy knows he can't take us from it, he'll try to distract us from it. And I'm telling you, you got to decide why God put you on this earth. You have to live a decisive life. You cannot be lukewarm. You cannot straddle the fence. You cannot stay in the middle. You know why so many people stay in the middle? Because it's a comfort zone. When it comes to the issues that surround us, whether morally, doctrinally, politically, whatever, people, a majority of people will tend to stay in the middle. Because if they're in the middle, they're not accountable for anything. If I don't make a decision, I don't have to answer for anything. If I don't take a side, then nobody will be mad at me. Honey, if you're going to go through your life trying to keep everybody from being mad at you, you're going to have to stay in that lukewarm state. Because as long as you're lukewarm, the enemy won't mess with you. But you have to live a decisive life. You have to make up your mind that you are going to make a decision. You are going to take hard lines. You can't tiptoe around the issues. Listen to what I'm saying. This is why people don't want to be decisive, because it will require them to take a side. Honey, we don't want to take sides. We don't want to take sides. We don't want to make people mad. Listen, there are sides, and you have to pick. It's either Jesus, righteousness, love, or it's evil. The schemes and the plans of Satan and his strategy to tear down the church of the living God. You have to make a side. You have to pick a side, rather. You have to decide where you're going to be. When you stay in the middle, you're lukewarm, you're indecisive, you're indifferent, and I believe that makes God sick. So I'm calling you right now to live a decisive life. But here's the danger of living decisively. You will If you choose to be on the Lord's side, if you choose to get off the fence, when you take a hard line spiritually, you will be the victim of cancel culture. You've seen cancel culture in action. And I'm going to tell you, this came along long before social media and the internet age came about. They were trying to cancel Jesus. Every time that he performed a miracle in the temple, the synagogue leaders and the Pharisees and the chief priests were trying to cancel him by chastising him for performing a miracle and breaking the law by working on the Sabbath. Every time Jesus preached about the kingdom of God and he was called the Messiah, they tried to cancel him by telling everyone that he was a blasphemer. Jesus, they tried to cancel him by killing him, but he came back from the grave. You can't cancel Jesus. I promise you, though, that if you will take a hard line, if you will make decisions, if you will live decisively, if you will pick a side and not be lukewarm, indifferent, indecisive, you stand the risk of people trying to cancel you. Can I tell you that they can't cancel your calling? They can't cancel your destiny. They can't cancel your purpose. They can't cancel the word in your mouth. God will always give you a platform. Your gift always will make room for you. I could go on for quite a bit longer. I've already come up to my 30-minute time frame here. But I hope this has encouraged you. I hope you've gained a fresh revelation in this. I hope that the Lord has spoken something to your heart. This was not meant to be a negative word, but a positive word to encourage you to get off the fence. Don't be afraid to be on fire for God. Live decisively. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform or Jeff's YouTube channel. For more information about this ministry, visit us at jeffwolf.org. Just released is Jeff's newest book, 10 Reasons Why. You can get it free by texting the keyword RESTORED to 833-649-1545. Message and data rates may apply. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.